You know, Mr. X, my crack researcher here. I shouldn't say my. It's not like I possess you, but you and I are good friends, and we've been delving down these gangrene holes, these policy consensus holes, these people in which you have a couple thousand people, couple thousand greenies, couple thousand commies, couple thousand hard lefty people controlling our life and destroying our lives and destroying our ability to work so hard. So we continue to work this. And the alert today, and I've mentioned this a couple of times this morning, I'm going to keep doing it all this week, so Thursday we're getting together at the Roxy Ann Grange. And the Roxy Ann Grange is in Medford at 1850 Spring Street, not too far off of Springbrook. You go to Springbrook and just take a, you know, the turn up Spring. And it's a corner of Spring and Valley View. And it's this great little log cabin, old-style Grange building, which is a great place to have community meetings. And we've rented it. It will open the doors about 5:30, start the meeting at 6 o'clock. And Ed, essentially what we're going to be doing, you and I will be speaking. Dave Dodder is going to be dropping by, Terry Welburn of Welburn's Weapons. Phil Gramatica left me a message from MRPC, and he's wanting to get the word out. Phil, I'll get in touch with you today. I know that he has a big email list of people. We want to fill this up because it's about strategizing and getting in people's face when it comes to this slew of anti-gun bills. That's essentially what we're going to be doing.
That's right.
Yeah, this coming Thursday. And so I hope you can attend, because once again, your silence is your consent.
That's right.
Your silence is your consent, just like it was on the carbon cap and trade. We wanted to mix up both of those issues a little bit, because oddly enough, the carbon cap and trade, the anti-carbon agenda, the AOC gangrene type of thing is sort of connected in a weird way to what's been happening in the Second Amendment world in the state of Oregon, too. It's still part of that policy consensus.
That's right.
You get a bunch of tyrants in the room that all agree that, well, your rights should be stripped. And then, oh, we all agree this is where we should be going.
Well, right? It's amazing how this program is introduced, even without anybody really truly observing and noting what's happening. But we look at the news releases since AOC, you know, embarked on her Green New Deal program, right? Well, all you have to do is type in
alternatives to AOC's Green New Deal.
Green New Deal.
Now, and then you come up with Republicans that are out there pushing alternatives the Green New Deal. And here is the danger when you see these GOP dunderheads falling into that trap. It then falls into the policy consensus
dispute resolution across the board. And now you have a consensus-based process nationally that'll try to bring in attributes of her program. Okay, and make everybody happy at the table with the predetermined outcome.
The predetermined outcome is that we move harder to that progressive energy policy.
Where
what the Republicans need to stand up, and people will say, well, you can't just always be against something. Yes, you can, and you must be. If they were all of a sudden going to say, you know, we have to infect everybody with tuberculosis in order to have a better lifestyle on this planet. And then the Republicans come back and say, well, no, we just need a little bit of tuberculosis and just a little bit of tuberculosis, not the full dose. We'll give you a little bit of TB.
Well,
and what will we be saying to them? Well, this is the equivalent in your life and energy and resource issue.
Well, you have to look at this. You have to watch for it. You have to understand it. And if we have to write letters of demand to our representatives to say, give no alternatives, acknowledge it for what it is. You know, you got to remember, in the older past times, a person coming up with an idea like this would have just been laughed
out of the of the entire situation.
She would be gone.
And we also see now, in fact, I ended up sharing on Facebook last night, I don't know if you saw that, but how essentially AOC is a manufactured product.
Right.
She was a manufactured product by, Justice Democrats. Right. Justice Democrats had essentially a casting call to play the part of a congressman.
It's based upon incremental achievements, Bill. And that's what we have to understand. And our attack, if it has to be incremental, has to be incremental also. But what we have to do is keep a vigilance that's all across the board on every aspect of this, because, you know, we're at a tipping point if we keep allowing this to go on. And, you know, I look at this whole thing as it's all interrelated, okay? The attack on guns is necessary because they want to disarm the populace. Why do they want to disarm the populace? Because they want to enact laws that will literally be so
punitive.
Repressive and punitive. Everybody, to everyone out here that's listening, that your future, your children's future, if you agree with this stuff, and I'll use a couple of quick points here to give you an idea.
So this is going back into some of our cap and trade conversations we were having a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly. And it's one of the better things to understand the pathway for the need to remove the guns, because at a certain point, you're going to say no. You're going to say, what is this? There's references in here that just, it struck me so, it made me so mad with the references. And I was sharing them with Bill, and he was just as astounded as I was that they could even go to this point.
All right. Now, I read these statements here on House Bill 2020 a little earlier this morning. I'm going to reread them for folks who may have just joined us, okay? And by the way, it's two views on House Bill 2020. And this was in the opinion section of the Statesman Journal. All right. Quote, when the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality Director Richard Whitman was asked by me, this is by Representative David Brock Smith, this is his piece in there, was asked by me in committee what impact on global carbon would occur if Oregon were to reduce its emissions to zero. He responded, Representative Brock Smith, you are correct that Oregon's portion of global carbon emissions is, I'll use the word, minuscule. Minuscule, right? So when Dr. Philip Moat, director of the Oregon Climate Services and Oregon Climate Change Research Institute, was asked by me what the impact would be on the global climate if Oregon were to reduce their emissions to zero, he responded to Representative David Brock Smith that the impact would be imperceptible.
Right.
Imperceptible. Now, this is our state representative in that area.
No. What I'm going to go to is a little bit more dismantling of those two of those paragraphs, okay? You have to take it further and logically analyze this. Who are they speaking to? They're speaking to the legislature. But now if you go into it, those people are part of a group that was created by the legislature to give them climate reports. Now, now take that a little bit further. The name of the group is the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute.
By the way, you can find them on OCCRI.net.
No, they go into their climate assessment report. They go into all of the summaries and everything. But the thing that I focused in on was sea level predictions, okay? Sea level rise predictions.
Now, is this from Dr. Philip Moat?
This is from the entire group.
Oh, this is the entire
organization.
Team. Okay.
This is a summary report. And this goes to the legislature, okay? So all of you folks that are in the legislature that may be listening, or if you can communicate this to these people, this is what has to occur. Because they state in this summary report from 2019, State of Climate Science Summary, sea level rise projections have not changed substantially through mid-century. Though estimates of the maximum plausible sea level by the end of the century, 2100, have increased to 8.2 feet.
Okay, so this group hired by the legislature to give it climate information input claims how many feet?
8.2 feet.
8.2 feet.
Now.
Of sea level rise here in this century. Now then, I will take you once again, and we continue to point this out, go to the NOAA website, tidesandcurrents.noaa.gov. Sea level trends. It's not happening. This is a lie that this group, hired by the state legislature, ends up telling the state legislature. So I guess, did they hire them to lie to the state legislature in order to...
Let's look at the depth of the whole trail here.
Bill. Okay. All right.
Now, one other part of their website, as you go to it, Climate Impacts Research Consortium, okay? And this is another part. This is one of their projects. And it says OCCRI is home to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, Regional Integrated Sciences and Assessment, RISA, for the Pacific Northwest, the Climate Impacts Research Consortium, CIRC. Now, this is also part of their group. So, in other words, they're getting funded most likely through a grant stream process through NOAA. Now, NOAA at the same time is giving us the information right as of this morning that at the coast areas of Oregon, you can go along and virtually in the next 100 years show no rise in sea level.
I'm looking right now. I'm right on the site. In fact, now most of the West Coast is going up as you go closer to Alaska.
They show it going up.
Yeah, they show it going up.
Go to Crescent City.
But yeah, well, Crescent City is actually going down. Crescent City is going, let's see. North Spit, California. Hang on, I'm just looking for
there
my...
There should be a blue arrow on there.
Yeah, it's actually... Crescent City. Crescent City is going down a 95% confidence interval of about losing a third of a millimeter per year. And that means that we have sea level drop in 100 years at Crescent City. The sea level's dropping 3 inches.
Well, now, if you go up the coast, it's basically that where they show a rise basically about that same increment. It's not that much higher.
Now, here we go to Port Orford. Now, remember, we have the climate liars hired by the state legislature to lie to them so that they can have their predetermined outcome of a carbon cap and trade. They say that the sea level is going to rise 8.2 feet in the next 100 years. Well, what has been happening? Port Orford. From 1977 to 2018, the sea level has gone up, let's see, 0.03 feet in 100 years. So at Port Orford, the rate has been going, it hasn't even been an inch.
That's right.
In 100 years.
Hasn't even been. That's a projection for the next 100
years. Yeah, projection for the next. This is what they're saying.
That's what we have to realize. This group is functioning on a lie. How do they get funded by NOAA, work with NOAA, and that the information that's actually brought out by NOAA shows these low numbers of any part of it going up, down, whatever.
Exactly.
Indicating that there's basically no change, because when you really research the NOAA information and you start finding this stuff out, the reality to it is they average it with the tsunami waves, storm surge. That's what they want to start calling all of this sea level rise, and they start going about the climate impacts. And this is the point at which it ties into the Second Amendment, because the same paper takes you to challenges are great, is what they say, but there are opportunities to adapt to a rapidly changing Oregon. Now, they don't say a rapidly changing climate in Oregon. A rapidly changing
Oregon.
Okay. Right. So now with the speed that they can rapidly change is their designated dates of the 21st century, 2020. They want this wonderful, sustainable world by then, and they're going to ram it down your throat. And again, I reiterate, these are the laws of the United Nations, not the laws of the United States.
And that's why I reference that.
This is the difference that we have to deal with.
And that's why I reference that to Senator Golden and the climate change or the carbon reduction committee, referencing just that.
And you'll forgive me for this, but I'm going to take you to I'm going to read a little bit more so people understand. I'm going to start with what I just said. The challenges are great, but there are opportunities to adapt.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I want to give you more time, all right?
Okay.
Let me take our break and our news break.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll have a little more openness
because
on this
Because that point is extremely critical.
All right, we'll be right back with Mr. X, taking your calls, too, at 770-5633 at KMED and KCMD. Increasingly, liars, in my opinion, get hired by the state legislature to push falsehoods to the state legislature, saying, oh, the sea levels are going up 8.5 or 8.2 feet on the coast. And then NOAA reports nothing even remotely close to reality. And how do we let them get away with this? And it is part of that. A quick take here from Ron. Ron, I don't have a lot of time. I got to make hay, but what's your question?
I guess my question is, why aren't conditions like tectonic plates being taken into account? Because earthquakes cause massive changes in elevations of land masses. And we have the Cascadia off the coast. I'm sure that because of the little earthquakes we've been having, there's been some change.
But sure.
I've never heard of anybody taking into account the changes in elevation of the seafloor and the surrounding land masses.
All right. Well, that's an interesting take on it. Ron.
It is. It's an interesting take. But, you know, the focus that I'd like to convey is let's look at the information that is skewed. How can they say 8.2 feet and you go to NOAA, and it's 0.03 millimeters in 100 years. This is the difference. This is what we have to look at to make a decision, because we have to make a decision as to our children's future. Now, you know, climatic changes, true climatic changes, come and go. Earthquakes come and go.
We can't control that.
We can't control it. That's the reality.
But we can control this process of lies being fed to the legislature,
right,
or distortion of the data. Here's another example, though, that that I wanted to give a heads up to, a Real American salute to Richard Corbin, R-C-E-L-L-C is what he wrote. He said, and I think this buttresses what we're fighting, the lies and the lying liars hired by the lying legislature to lie to it so they can have their predetermined outcome of carbon cap and trade and control of you. I mean, that's really the bottom line of what we've been facing here with all of this. And now they want to go with guns because they don't want the people getting a little too uppity, I think is what's really going on ultimately. But here is his article about Harlech Castle. Listen to this, and it's true. In about the year 1460, Yorkish forces, estimated to be as many as 10,000 troops, laid siege to the Lancastrian garrison at the Harlech Castle in Wales. The siege lasted some 7 years until starvation and disease forced the surrender. Perhaps the garrison also ran out of ammo, arrows. It was built by Edward I. The castle still stands and remains an imposing and highly defensible structure. But one interesting fact about the castle is that it was built close to the sea so that it could be resupplied by ship. Today, the sea has retreated, and the castle is well removed from the sea. Which brings up an interesting question to me, at least, Bill. If global warming, climate change, climate chaos, extreme weather, or whatever it is called at this moment is true, and the seas are rapidly rising, why isn't the castle underwater? Instead, the castle is high and dry and a long distance from the seas that once allowed ships to easily reach it.
That's, you know, these are the points that we have to drive across. I mean, you have to look at the practical reality of these things.
That's reality, Richard. Reality out on the coast when you look at the NOAA tides and currents and what's happening with sea level rise. Garibaldi, okay. 1970 to 28, sea level rise at the equivalent rate of 8 or 9 inches in 100 years. Yeah. That's the high. That's a long way. 8 or 9 inches is a long way from 8 or 9 feet, which is what the state legislature has been told.
And then what you have to take into account is that how they arrive at that part of it, because water seeks its own level. It's a physical property of water. What do we have? We have that they take into account the storm surges, tidal surges, all of the things that are a result, like what Ron was saying, the earthquakes produce tsunamis.
Oh, so the tsunami comes up then.
Account,
so they actually calculate, they take a tsunami wave and then add it into sea level?
A lot of the data comes from of these recording devices that ride the waves. And this is the thing that we have to understand. You got to go and look at it just because they tell you that that's what it is. And to give you an idea, folks, okay, the folks that we're talking about that come to this point, it says about this report, the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute, OCCRI, periodically assesses the state of knowledge of climate science as it pertains to Oregon, fulfilling the legislative mandate that created OCCRI. Then it goes to who the summary was written by. But that statement tells you the legislature created these people to do what? Now there's no mandate that they have to inform them of actual true information? You have to be kidding me. Their obligation and duty, their fiduciary duty, is to protect us from the lies that would destroy our future,
but they
destroy
our economy. But they want to agree with the lie.
They try to agree with the lie, thus the result of having this ridiculous adventure into the climate change thing. Now, we looked at the climate change bill. We fought it. We do whatever we can. I was discussing this with Bill a few minutes ago during the break, but the reality is they actually have terminology in here about creating water markets.
Really?
No, you look at this and I think, How does this come about? Well, think about it, folks. These wonderful folks that want to protect you by taxing you on your carbon input, although they're only one of, there's supposed to be 10 states that have carbon cap and trade, but ours is much more dramatic. Ours is much more responsible
for us to do.
We're going to take care of it, even though it's minuscule, as the guy says.
So tell us the end game where they see this going here with creating robust water markets. Put it in context.
Well, the simplest way is to understand in context, the challenges are great.
Is this coming from
the same report?
The Climate Change Research Institute. Okay,
right?
All right, good.
Now, this is reporting to the state legislature. The challenges are great, but there are opportunities to adapt to a rapidly changing Oregon. Now, they didn't say climate in Oregon. If you notice, they said a rapidly changing Oregon.
They made a political statement.
That's exactly right. Yeah. They're telling you their story because they're on a pathway here to their roadmap to 2020. Adaptive capacity is not equal across and within communities and sectors. However, careful management of natural resources can help reduce the climate risks that the natural resources economy faces. Such management includes creating resilient agroecosystems and building more robust water markets.
Now, does that sound to you like taxing the wells, controlling how you're able to use water?
That's exactly right.
Remember, there's been all this push to meter them?
If they control the air, which is the atmosphere, which is the CO2 connection, and they control the water, what hope do you have without a gun? Okay, This is literally a feudal system where they're going to allow you what they believe they will allow you, and that's it.
All right, so this is why, and we can continue to send comments to the state legislature.
That's exactly right.
And we
need to start sending comments to them regarding these things.
Do you have this up on Mr. X-Files yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, get your guy on that. If you could, and we'll do it. I'll link to it when you do, because...
Okay.
Just because the comment period on House Bill 2020 has ended doesn't mean that we stop talking to the legislature.
That's exactly
right. Our work is not done here yet, folks. All right? It's all connected.
We have to start trying to reverse this idiocy bill.
Yeah, pardon me. I'm knocking over my coffee thing. Let's take a couple of calls here. Then we're going to have to wrap the morning here because, time's a wasted. And Tom's in talent. Hello, Tom.
Good morning. I've been curious for some time where the fountainhead of climate lies is coming from. Now, people like Alan Genet and the fellow who just wrote an essay in the guest opinion of the Mail Tribune today, they all seem sincere, and they're really talking about it. But there are many, many groups and many, many people that are convinced that climate change is true. But going back to, I would like to know where all this crap originated from. And was it some Rockefeller Foundation back in the 90s or 80s or 70s that came?
Boy, I'll tell you, Tom, in all honesty, I think it has come from multiple conspiracies, if you want to call it that.
Well, the actual, total trip back, I think our troubles began when the first President Bush signed on to the sustainable development thing out of Rio,
Accord. But it had to come from a higher source than even the government. I see some kind of wealthy people who actually control the world.
Hey, it'd be nice to be able to go back in time, find the person that first started pushing this stuff, and take them out like some science fiction movie. But I think we have to concentrate more on how we fight it now, because I just don't know if you just say, hey, the root of it is based in George Soros' Open Society, or was it... it's been coming from many different directions for many years now. And frankly, you remember back in the 70s, we were told we were going to freeze to death, right?
This thing, I can see why the left is pushing this, because they hate corporations. If anyone's rich, it's because they're bad people and they stole it from
they're happy with green rich corporations. They're happy with that. That's a politically favored version of it. So I just don't know if I want to get focused on really the source of it. We just want to expose the lies of it and I think act accordingly here in the future, Tom. And I appreciate it. I just don't want to get stuck into whose fault it is. I think that's really essentially what we're trying to figure it out.
At this moment, it's more prudent to look at what the result is from these intrusions, and I'm going to call it what they are. They're an intrusion, and the net result that they state that they want to do is change our economic system.
And that's the bottom line.
And that's the bottom line.
And it's not about the climate. It's about changing the economic system.
It's about changing the economic system, which changes our society, which they don't have the legal capacity to do unless we allow them to do it by our silence, which is our consent.
Now, that does then bring into another aspect of this has been how technocracy has always been bubbling underneath the surface.
That's exactly
Patrick
right.
Wood, who we've talked to several times on this show, author of Technocracy Rising, and Technocracy, The Hard Road to Ruin, his latest version of it. It's excellent, by the way. We'll get him back on the show. That movement has also embraced this entirely because they see the climate change agenda as the operation in order to fully implement that scientific dictatorship in which we have the scientists decide social
policy.
And that's
the thing. And we have to start calling people out, okay? Like, I keep going back. I've said it several times. The Mail Tribune on the front page has had this repetitive little red box that says, we're holding local politicians accountable for the wildfire smoke in Southern Oregon. Well, Jackson County Commission found out, pursued the answer, and arrived at a conclusion and labeled what that problem is. It is not climate change. It is simply policy. It is simply the policy of the federal government to allow land management to be accomplished by naturally ignited burns.
And that is where we get into Let It Burn. And even in the Mail Tribune, they still say the so-called Let It Burn.
That's it.
And so you have to hold them to account, too.
We have to hold it all to
right.
account.
Greg. Hello, Greg Roberts, Mr. Outdoors. Fire away. Climate stats. Let's hear it.
I'm glad to hear you guys on this morning because you're hitting two things, the sea level rise or the lack thereof. First of all, they're going to use that, you know, catastrophic 8-foot rise, secure in the knowledge that very few people are even going to go and look to see if that is statistically possible. It is not. And you guys are doing an excellent job illustrating through NOAA, actually, what is truly going on out there, and that it is complete garbage to claim we're going to have 8-foot sea level rise where that has never been demonstrated unless we've had seismic activity locally or we have had tsunami events or storm surges, as you're pointing out. What you're pointing out is the fact, destroying the myth and the lie. The second thing that is a statistical anomaly, we have been hearing climate change is a pressing problem and we must address it. If that is true, the February that we just had would have been impossible. We wouldn't have seen the low elevation snow the way we saw it. We wouldn't be breaking records since they have been keeping records all over North America. We wouldn't have had the snowiest February we have ever had since they have been keeping records. You see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah.
The real truth will bear out, and the real truth exposes what a lie we're dealing with.
And the real truth is exactly what the situation with the state legislature and this push for the carbon cap and trade is exactly what they don't want done, which is why they continue to force feed the lies. You keep calling them on it, Greg. Thank you for weighing in on that. All right. Anything you want to add anything to that?
I would. I'd like to elaborate slightly and thank Greg for his comment on that because you were right on. In addition to that, on a whim, I looked into the Oregon statutes regarding child abuse. And I did that based upon an impulse that I had by seeing a videotape of Feinstein being confronted by young school children with a couple of
Hysteric about climate change and going after her. Yeah.
And they were, it was like this. But I'm going to, sit here and give you an idea that there are statutes that go after the mental abuse of a child. Now, what more abusive relationship than you can have mentally than by making a child fearful of his future?
In essence, what we should be doing, we should be looking at all of these gangrene teachers in the government school system that are indoctrinating these children into this fear system.
And the reality is, within minutes in the same classroom, you can show that there are possibly no connections that can be made that it's actually happening. So you without giving them the scientific method as a, you know, as the way forward through life, they give them, oh, this is what's happening, your future. And they're brainwashing these kids. They're creating, by way of fear-mongering, just a disaster for these young folks in the future, because they're going to react in a fearful way, not understanding what's actually happening.
All right, we're ready to wrap in here this morning. Francine, you say you know where this started. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say I know where it started, but I know where how it got popularized,
okay,
in a sense. You know, back, okay, I'm an old, you know, 60s girl, you know, and I remember, you know, all the hippies and the, you know, alternative people, everybody was going on about, oh, you know, the pollution and blah, blah, blah. And the environmental movement was sort of starting to form back then. And this, that was, and the, at that time, the government kind of poo-pooed it, you know, like, oh, you guys are crazy. And then all of a sudden, as this evolves, you know, is evolving, boom, the government suddenly is behind it, you know, which, like, gives all these people who have all these thoughts in their head forever and ever, it gives them validation, and they become stronger and stronger, and they're being taught this in school. And, you know, it's an expanding thing. Basically, I guess my point is that this has all been a manipulation, and it started a long, long time ago. And you were right when you referenced technocracy rising. And also, anybody that has examined any of Dave McGowan's works will see how the manipulation functions.
And we must resist the manipulation, and we also must address our concerns to the manipulated.
That's right.
And this is going to be a really, really tough job for us, because we're asking people to question their faith and worldview, and to pull back from the brink, to pull back from this, repent or ye shall die. That's in it. in a fire of carbon climate change hell. Oh, you know, and that's it. And we have to work. But at the very least right now, you hold up your hands and you tell the state legislature no, in no uncertain terms.
Oh.
You don't compromise with it. You don't come up with an alternative like some of these dimwit Republicans that are saying, because you're buying into the concept. Into the platform. So, all right, Mr. X, we got to run, because we're going to wrap up and other shows will come on whether or not I'd like to stay on or not. Okay. So now then, this information that we've been talking about this morning, you'll get the links up to your
right
fellow, and he'll have it on Mr. X Files, MRXFiles.com. And I'll link to that too on my show blog today. I think it's the easier way to do it, rather than me trying to translate what you're doing here. But lock it in and make the date here, because it is connected with the firearms situation. That's why we get together Thursday. This Thursday, doors open at 5:30. 6 o'clock is when the meeting starts. Roxy Ann Grange, 1850 Spring Street in Medford. And tell your friends about it. Let's pack the joint. Let's strategize fighting these intrusions, okay?
Right.
All right, Mr. X, 854 at KMED.